Christ is risen.
Indeed he is risen.
Christ is risen.
Indeed he is risen.
Christ is risen.
Indeed he is risen.
Greetings, brothers and sisters, on this first Sunday after Pascha, which we call Thomas Sunday. And St. Gregory the Great points out that it was not by chance that Thomas was absent when the Lord appeared to the other 10 disciples. But this was by divine providence, and as he says, divine compassion brought it about in a wonderful way that when the doubting disciple touched the wounds in his master's body, he cured the wounds of our unbelief. Thomas's unbelief was of more advantage to our faith than the faith of the believing disciples, because when he was led back to faith by touching Jesus, our minds were relieved of all doubt and made firm in faith. Now we know that when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane the night that they came to take him, that the disciples all scattered and ran away. And that was the night in which, you know, Judas betrayed him. And of course after that, Judas went and hanged himself. And so that left 11 of the original 12 disciples. But it's interesting to note that the other disciples also had their doubts about whether Jesus really rose from the dead. In St. Luke's Gospel, when Mary Magdalene and the other myrrh-bearing woman told all these things to the 11 and all the rest, their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. And then again in the Gospel of St. Mark, he reports that when Christ appeared to Luke and Cleopas on the road to Emmaus, first thing Luke and Cleopas did is run straight back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples that they'd seen the Lord. And they went and told the rest, but they did not believe them either. Archbishop Averroes said that the passion and death of Christ was particularly difficult and dispiriting to Thomas. This is because he was fixed in the idea that Christ was lost forever. His spiritual depression was so great that he was not with the other disciples on the day of the resurrection. Apparently, he decided that there was no point in gathering together since everything had fallen apart, and now every disciple must somehow continue to lead his separate individual life. Well, here's a kind of spiritual principle that we can already see, which is this danger of trying to sort of, you know, strike out on our own when we sometimes might feel that we do not need to come to church or we don't need one another, and that somehow it's just better to remain alone and just, you know, think our own thoughts and have our own opinions and ideas. There are many accounts in the lives of the saints and the holy fathers of the church where, you know, a monk goes off into the desert, he decides he's going to be a hermit, you know, and sometimes they would deliberately go to some very harsh place where there was no water, no food, and they thought, well, you know, God will take care of us, and then they just perished, you know, because this wasn't pleasing to God. You know, and this is really because these monks were not spiritually strong or mature enough to live the life of a hermit. And so while all the other disciples had their doubts, they nevertheless remained together through this ordeal, and Christ appeared to them several times to show them that he truly did rise from the dead and was not just, you know, kind of a ghost or a spirit of some sort. He showed them his wounds when he appeared to them. You know, he ate food in front of them. And this was really the reward of those disciples, those other 10 disciples, remaining together. But because Thomas decided to separate himself from the rest of the disciples, he actually was at risk of losing his faith. Nevertheless, even though Thomas was stubborn and had kind of weak faith, deep down he obviously wanted to believe that Christ had risen from the dead, but he needed help. He's also a very brave person, actually, because, you know, by visiting the other disciples when they were in hiding, he was at risk of being caught and captured, and he could have been, you know, killed and so forth. So that actually took a lot of guts on his part, even just to go back there. St. Theophylact wrote, "Why does the Lord wait 8 days before appearing to Thomas?" And he says that it's to allow time for each of Thomas' fellow disciples to tell him what they had witnessed. Hearing the same story from each one individually made him more willing to believe and increased his desire to see the Lord. So when Christ did appear to Thomas and invited him to touch his wounds and said, "Be not unbelieving, but believing," Thomas then confessed Christ as my Lord and my God. St. Theophylact says that that's an indication of Thomas recognizing both the humanity of Christ, but also his divine essence. When Christ says to Thomas, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe," Archbishop Evarchy noted that the spread of the faith of Christ on earth would have been impossible if every person required the same kind of proof for his faith as Thomas did, such as never-ending miracles. Therefore, the Lord blesses those who reach faith with only trust in the witness of the Word, trust in the teaching of Christ. And this is the best path to faith. You know, the Apostle Paul, in the Epistle to the Hebrews, talks about how that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the essence of things not seen. And, you know, it's kind of obvious if someone says, well, trust me, this is the gospel. Well, of course, you can see it, you know, so that's just recognition. That doesn't take any faith to believe that that's the gospel or that that's a candle or something. It's something that you can see doesn't require any faith. But, you know, God is unseen. He's a spirit. And yet we see his manifestations all around us. We see his power in creation. You know, the whole changing of the seasons and all of nature show signs of God. And we see God in our brothers and sisters and our children, and many things. You know, so when Thomas had his faults, he also had his virtues. Though he was, for one thing, he had great perseverance because he wanted to believe in Christ's resurrection and was willing to keep trying to find faith. He was also honest, and he was willing to repent and confess his doubts before the others when he told them that he would not believe unless he could see, you know, Christ and touch his wounds for himself. You know, he could have thought to himself, I don't want to look like an idiot here. I don't want to really go there and admit that I have these doubts, so I'll just kind of stay away until this all blows over. You know, I mean, he could have tried to sort of save face. I mean, you know, that's kind of a common thing to do. But he was willing to admit. I said, I'm having trouble believing, guys. You know, I need to touch Jesus. And so it was this repentance before Christ that, you know, really brought him to that great gift of faith. So, brothers and sisters, there is a little of the doubting Thomas in all of us. You know, sometimes we might begin to question whether or not God really hears our prayers or whether he really loves us. You know, like Thomas, we have not had the opportunity yet to touch Christ's wounds or put our hand into his side. However, we do have Holy Communion. Each time we gather to partake of Christ's holy body and blood, we truly do come in contact with the risen Lord who loves us more than we know. So let us contemplate the truth of Christ's resurrection in this Paschal season and keep the flame of our faith burning brightly so that with God's help, our doubts and fears will be cast out and our faith will be strengthened. Christ is risen.
He is risen.